It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010. I'm John Moe. We're going to take a break from the wall-to-wall election coverage you've been hearing today to talk about robots being launched into space. Space Shuttle Discovery takes off for the International Space Station today. In its payload, Robonaut 2, a robotic astronaut, has a head, arms. It's the first robot to go up there that looks like a person. Brandy Dean from NASA says the robot's work won't be glamorous.
The main idea is things that are either too dangerous for an astronaut to do safely or maybe just too boring.
So what's the kind of thing that'd be too boring for them to do that it might be doing?
One of the things the astronauts have to do every week is wipe down handrails in the International Space Station to keep bacteria from growing on them. You know, that's not really the best use of an astronaut's time. They could be doing, you know, important science during that time if they had a robot who could wipe handrails down for them.
Do you, like me, have a tendency to anthropomorphize something that is humanoid in nature? Think of it as a living thing up there?
Yes, I think most of us do have that tendency. And I think that's, you know, part of the thought that went into having a humanoid robot to begin with. There are practical reasons. For instance, we want it to be able to use the same tools as the astronauts. So to do that, you really have to have something with a human-like hand. It has to have cameras so that it can see its environment and its controllers in space or on the ground can also see through its eyes. And those cameras need to pan and tilt, so it makes sense to have a head and neck.
So there are practical reasons to make Robonaut 2 look human. Then there's this.
We also think that looks really cool.
Marty Lynn is a principal engineer for robotics at General Motors. GM worked with NASA to build Robonaut 2, or R2, as they call it. Marty says that's not a Star Wars reference.
It really becomes a fundamental packaging problem. The human body is an absolutely amazing device. And as engineers, we spend a lot of time looking at our hands, holding our hands in front of our face and wiggling our fingers, trying to figure out how do you build a machine to do that in the same size that a human hand is. That was probably our greatest challenge.
What can Robonaut do that humans can't?
The robot's not going to get tired like a human. It won't have the same fatigue levels that a human has. It can do repetitive motions much better than a human can. From that point of view, the robot and the machine is much better than a human.
Can it walk?
Right now it cannot walk. The R2 unit is only an upper body, and that's one of the things that NASA is looking at, being able to expand the lower base mobility.
Speaking of expanding, there's a movement within NASA to send a Robonaut to the moon. It could be there within 1,000 days, walking around, taking pictures, never coming back. Other stories we're following at MarketplaceTech.org. Twitter is experimenting with peppering ads into the stream of tweets that you read. They say they want to see how users handle the ads, which will look just like tweets. And you can now send Amazon.com gift cards to Facebook friends. Virtual card shows up on their Facebook wall. They can then cash it in. Efficient, if somewhat cold and impersonal. Machine of Death is an anthology of stories about dying. It's self-published, features unknown authors who submitted their work online, and after a huge online organizing effort, it hit number one on Amazon.com on its publication day last week. That's unheard of for a self-published work. Soon, big-name publishers who had originally rejected the book were scrambling to buy it up. But cartoonist David Malky, who helped put the project together, turned them down. And now you can get a download of the book in PDF form for free. David, why?
You have to make someone aware of a work before they can ever become fans of the work. And so by allowing them to experience it, you give them the option of falling in love with it.
So it's an investment in the future of people being fans of your work and embracing it later and maybe forking over some money later?
Sure, and I hear the dubiousness in your voice, but this is not altruism. If we sell 1,000 copies, great. If we give away 1,000,000 copies, we could sell 10,000 copies.
Are there any rules in publishing anymore?
Yes, but you have to be a publisher to follow the rules, and we are just some guys with a website.
We have a link to Machine of Death in PDF form at MarketplaceTech.org. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.